It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo is right, and it is hump day. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. Each of you, you are treasured and you are valued. You have a purpose today. Go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I'd love to hear from you. My email, whoa. I tell you, I thought I was ready to go this morning, but I'm just kidding myself. My email is kim@kimmunson.com, and that is our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Great show plan for you today. In studio with me is Rick Turnquest. You know he is an author, a blogger of toadvancefreedom.com. It's great to have you here, Rick Turnquest.
Yeah, great to be here, Kim. Glad we got one more show in before this terrible year goes away.
And boy, you've written a very important piece. It's called Tyranny and Bankruptcy. It is on my website, and you've just got to go and obviously read the op-ed and see the visual that Zach put together. It is it's a good one.
Yeah, Zach always does a great job, and I can't wait to see what he's done to put a visual to what we're writing about. So kudos to Zach for that.
And Steve, you said that you saw it on Facebook yesterday. We published it yesterday.
Yeah, the humorous part, besides the graphic itself, was another Facebooker caught onto it immediately and said, gee, I hope that's not copyrighted because I want to spread that all over. Hey, and another note, you just mentioned your email, Joyce.
Yes.
It was answered my question regarding the Kennedy Center and the funding in the relief package. And why does this always show up? Because it's one of Nancy Pelosi's pet projects. Imagine that.
Yeah, we're talking about that stimulus package and all of the pork. As somebody said, you needed a wagon to get that baby through the halls of Congress to get it to the floor.
Right. I started to write about some of that. And, you know, the piece rapidly was growing beyond the 2,000-word limit I try to adhere to. So.
Yeah, 5,000 pages.
Yeah, and you know, the fact of the matter is nobody has time to read all that, so it's just irresponsible what they're doing in creating legislation that's so vast that nobody has the time to get their mind around it or even read the thing, and yet they're supposed to vote on it. It's a clear sign that, you know, we need some reforms in our United States House of Representatives, like single title bills, single subject bills, adequate time to review bills and hear testimony and all that before they're voted on and become law. And the example of that is Obamacare. You know, that thing was passed. Mm-hmm. It was a 2,000-some page bill, and it's turned out to be terrible for the country.
But then what they do is they say, oh, it's the law. But yet they never read it. And if you have not had time to read, and it could be an ordinance. I even saw it when I was on city council. The packets got very large. You would get them. I've got to think how that worked. Typically, you would get them maybe on Friday, and you had to read the whole thing. Sometimes it was 200 or 300 pages, and then you were going to act on that on Tuesday night. It's like, hold the phone here. We need some time to really be able to think about these things. So to your point, we need to have some reform on that. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I greatly appreciate you as we're coming into the end of the year. We've done a lot of work this year, producer Steve, and we're always searching for truth, clarity. Patty does a great job with the research, and Zach with the website and the social media, and Keith handles the SoundCloud, and of course you handle the boards, and you got for Christmas a new board there. We're third day in. You're doing a great job.
Well, like I said before, it's like cooking in someone else's kitchen. You just don't know where things are, and it's driving me crazy. A note to Patty, it's not if she's listening. I know she's listening, and I just, about 5:15 is when I start reading her package, and by 5:30, I'm rather upset. So you're doing a good job, Patty.
She's doing a great job. One other thing that we have forgotten to let people know is this Sunday is a big day. I am bringing my America's Veterans Stories with Kim Munson show over to KLZ. And you can listen to that from 3 to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoons. And we've got a great show planned for you this week. Paula Sarles, who is a Vietnam-era Marine veteran and also a Gold Star wife, will be in studio talking about what her work regarding remodeling and refurbishing the Marine Memorial, which is out here in Golden. And then our mutual friend, and they've been friends for a long time, and that is Jim Blaine. He fought in several of the battles in the Pacific in World War II. And he is our guest. And we have part one this week and part two next week. And Steve, I know you're really excited about this.
Well, I know enough about American veterans' stories in my exposure in working with you over the years. And it is so inspiring. And you know, your mission from, I guess, 2016 forward was to say we need to capture these stories before these men and women are gone. And their stories are just riveting. You can't imagine what it was like for them to be there at the age of 18 or 19 at some of our most horrific World War II events.
And so that's going to be a real treat. And that is debuting this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., on KLZ 560, and then also you can listen on KLZ 100.7 FM. So excited to have Rick Turnquest in studio. And as you know, my friends, we look at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And my gosh, Rick Turnquest, has 2020 not been a real example of freedom versus force, force versus freedom?
It sure has, and really, it's been a great example of how government will always expand to fill any vacuum, any power vacuum that it can. And we've talked about this, you know, several months ago, the ratchet effect, where government will grow in response to a air quotes crisis, and it will never ratchet back. You know, it just ratchets up to that level and never dials itself back. And that's been very clear here in Colorado. Which is why I wrote this piece that's on your website today about tyranny, one-party tyranny.
And we will roll this out in our email newsletter as well this week. So there'll be your op-ed. And then I've got one that I'll publish as well regarding this five-star state certification program that to try to get restaurants, bars, and gyms open. And I had an interesting experience. I met a friend last night at one of my favorite places that we had to sit outside in 20-degree weather around a fire with blankets and all. But it's just kind of crazy. And there were not very many people there. And I see these restaurants and bars and taverns and gyms, they're desperate to get open. Government has made it desperate. And now government is coming in with this five-star state certification program, which they say that they're using the Mesa County program, but what they did is they took a 2.5-page program, and it's now 10 pages, and there's all kinds of force all over it. There's no sunset. There's no requirement that we have real data instead of modeling, and I'm very disappointed about it.
Yeah, it's just another – in order to open a business now, you have to go through a lot of hoops and get permission from the state basically to operate. And operate within, you know, very defined sets of rules and regulations and compliance requirements. And now they're just making it even harder for businesses to operate. And if they keep on going the way they are, as I said in my piece, Colorado will soon be an economic wasteland.
And what I've said in my piece is that, you know that sign on I-70 out there at the Kansas-Colorado border? I don't know if you ever drive there, but I'm from Kansas. And every time I drive in, there's people standing by the sign, and I mean, for years that's happened because they're excited to be to Colorado. Welcome to Colorado. The new sign's going to be for sale, for lease, or space available.
That's right. And if you're thinking about selling and moving, maybe call now's
Karen
the
Levine.
Time. While the, yeah, while the while prices are still high, because as people, you know, leave the state, we're going to have you know, a very difficult impact to our real estate prices.
Yes. And so if you are considering relocating, call Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance.
Right.
303-877-7516. Let's get to our quote for today. I thought it was very appropriate for your piece, Tyranny and Bankruptcy. And Thomas Paine was born in 1737, died in 1809. He was an English-born American political activist, philosopher, political theorist, and revolutionary. He co-authored Common Sense in 1776 and The American Crisis from 1776 to 1783, the two most influential pamphlets at the start of the American Revolution, and he helped inspire the Patriots in 1776 to declare independence from Great Britain. His ideas reflected Enlightenment-era ideals of transnational human rights. Historian Saul K. Padover described him as a corset maker by trade, a journalist by profession, and a propagandist by inclination. And I didn't know that that was his job, was he was a corset maker.
I didn't know.
But here we, it was merchants, it was regular people that stood up, and this is what he said. No country can be called free, which is governed by an absolute power. And it matters not whether it is an absolute royal power or an absolute legislative power, as the consequences will be the same to the people. He knew it then, and we're living it now, Rick.
That, yeah, what a great quote for today, because it's exactly true. It's what inspired me to write the first part of this piece about tyranny. We have one-party tyranny here in Colorado, and it's deepened after this last election. And recently, I saw a leftist activist had complained about something related to the Denver city government, something that was going on in Denver. And I had just had to point out to this person that for decades, Denver has been run by Democrats and Colorado is run by Democrats. So if you have complaints about the way the government's doing anything, you need to realize that you voted for Democrats, they're running the show, your problem is with them.
And this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK.
Not remotely. JFK would be laughed out of today's Democratic Party. In fact, Bill Clinton would be laughed out of today's Democratic Party. Harry Truman would be a Republican in today's day and age.
Wow.
It's they've just gone so far to the left, and they are so beholden to their radical...
activist agenda.
Activist leftist base. It's you know, it used to be that it was a sign of shame or stigma to be called a communist, and now we have a Denver City Councilwoman who proudly proclaims that she's a communist. It's, times have really changed, and the Democratic Party has really changed for the worse.
Well, and it's not been good for Colorado. Steve, you looked to me like you wanted to say something.
Well, Thomas Paine's quote there makes it sound like an either or. What happens when they merge? Absolute legislative with absolute royalty.
Well,
which is the case here.
Yeah, I think we still have the same results. We're going to go to break, but before we do that, and Rick and Steve, we've gone through some of the headlines, and I didn't mention this one to you, Rick, but I think that you'll find this very interesting. This is from the Colorado Community Media, and it said, here in Littleton, it says, crews are putting finishing touches on Littleton's newly renovated city council chambers, a project that city officials say will better accommodate COVID-era safety protocols and that also tackles a project that they've had on their wish list for quite some time. It's been a cost of $1.4 million, and actually they used $4.4 million of their CARES Act, which was supposed to go to cities and counties to address the impacts of COVID-19, like maybe on these businesses that have been closed.
Yeah, that money was supposed to help people and businesses, and instead they used it to give themselves a more fancier facility to have their meetings. It's malpractice, and it's unconscionable.
It is. And we just, we've got a lot of headlines to go through, but I just wanted to throw that out before we go to break. And as you know, I have these really terrific partners that I get to work with. And one of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you're a collector or a sportsman or would like a new kitchen set for the kitchen, obviously, or gifts, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to go. And so check out their website. They updated it in mid-November. It's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy, another partner of the Kim Munson Show, he is the owner of Polygon Financial Group. And of course, interest rates are super, super low right now if you're regarding mortgages and refinance, all those kinds of things. And we want to get an update on that. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get a great look at, actually, we came out a little early on this one regarding our op-ed, which Rick Turnquist has written, Tyranny and Bankruptcy, and we published that yesterday, and it's getting a lot of interest.
There's already one very good comment on the website that I read during the break.
Okay.
And it's from one of your readers. He basically agrees. He says, keep the darn stimulus checks and reopen the darn economy.
Well, and that is true. And then I just heard from Helen, just texted me. She said, if you give $2,000 to one needy taxpayer, then give $2,000 to all taxpayers. Otherwise, it's forced charity.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yes. So we'll get to that here in the third and fourth segment. On the line with us is Lauren Levy. He is the owner of Polygon Financial Group. And with interest rates so low, it has been actually an opportunity for 2020 for a lot of people. Lauren Levy, Happy New Year. I can't believe that tomorrow is New Year's Eve.
I know, it's crazy. This has been the fastest year I can remember. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old.
I don't think it's that. I think, Lauren, it's because you're busy.
I agree. You've helped
a lot of people this year that have been able to refinance and, over the long term, lock in these low rates, because I think at some point in time, Lauren, rates are going to go up. When we look at these stimulus packages, at some point in time, rates are going to go up. And so there is still this opportunity right now that people can lock in these low rates.
I agree with you. You know, we've been saying for quite some time that rates have nowhere to go but up, but they seem to keep defying that theory. And, you know, it has to do with the Federal Reserve stepping in and putting money into the economy, and these different stimulus packages have just served to keep rates lower. And every time we think that they can't go any lower, they tick a little lower. And that's what happened within the last week or two, is they've actually gone even a little bit lower, to where people are now getting, somewhere in the 2.5 to 2.625 if they have a lot of equity on 30-year fixed. It's such an opportunity to save money or purchase a home. Your buying power is more than it's ever been in our history.
Question. We were talking about people possibly relocating. Can you help people with mortgages in other states, or is there licensing requirements? And how does that work?
Yeah, there's licensing requirements in every state. They're all different. It depends on, you know, what kind of business you want to have. So I pretty much stick to Colorado, and I'm from Massachusetts, so I lend there as well. There are companies that lend in other states. It just depends on your business mix and what you feel, you know, works best for you and your company. So for us, Colorado's been great, and we've just been kind of sticking to it.
Okay. Well, and I would highly recommend, if people want to refinance, or also these reverse mortgages. That has been, I think, an important tool as interest rates have gone down. People that have been looking to investments for income, that's changed a bit. And so a reverse mortgage, people, what? How old do you have to be if you're going to consider that?
You have to be 62. And it's not just interest rates, Kim. You know, I was just listening to the news yesterday that Colorado averaged in the last year 7% increase in home value. And most people's largest investment in their life outside of any 401k is their home and the equity in it. And the only way to tap that equity is to get a home equity line or take out a mortgage that requires repayment. And, you know, when you're retired and your income is down because interest rates are down, it's hard to make additional payments. And a reverse mortgage allows you to tap into that equity and not have to make any payments on it, all while drawing out tax-free dollars.
But you really need to know somebody that work with somebody that understands that, because there are some ins and outs. You want to have the whole family involved in that. But I know that that is another thing that you specialize in and are very good at, Lauren Levy.
That's true. And it's very rewarding to help someone. Reverses are not for everyone, but for the people that it's perfect for, you really help them and you can see it. And it really is rewarding to help people with those loans.
Well, and people can reach you at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. Now, Lauren, I have been thinking about my New Year's resolutions, but I have not nailed them down. Have you nailed down your New Year's resolutions?
I have. I just don't know how well they're going to work because, you know, you mentioned it right off the gate when you said that it's been a busy year. And my resolution has been to try to be more proactive and more focused and more on time with things and work harder. I just got to find the time to do it.
I hear you. And if you find that extra time, would you send some over my way too?
Absolutely.
So give Lauren Levy a call at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. Lauren, we'll talk to you in the new year.
All right. Thank you. Happy New Year, guys.
Okay. Thanks so much. Let's go through a couple of other headlines. Producer Steve, we have had this on the outline for, gosh, what, 10 days at least? And this is from the Colorado Sun. And it says the Public Utilities Commission here has pared back the plan to $5 billion and limited it to income-qualified buyers. And what we're talking about here is that Xcel Energy has gone to the PUC, and they have wanted to expand their electric vehicle program and more electrification of vehicles out there. And they wanted to do that. Initially, I think it was about $100 million. And in order to do that, the PUC approved the more than $100 million transportation electrification plan recently that aims to add 20,000 residential, commercial, and fast charging stations in the next 3 years. And then what they are going to get to do is they're going to get to pass that $100 million on to other ratepayers. They wanted an additional $30 million, from what my understanding, and the PUC said on that you can only have $5 million, but we're looking at a $100 million increase, and they're going to pass that on to ratepayers. And then we're going to have Kevin Lundberg on here in a couple of weeks to talk about something that's been a real sleeper that people haven't been paying attention to, is that here in Colorado they're going to close our clean coal-fired plants that provide affordable, reliable, and efficient energy early. But yet, they've always told us that we're not going to have to pay any more money. But when you look more deeper into this article, guess what? Your electricity rates are going to go up, Steve. And I know this has been something you've been concerned about.
This stinks every way you look at it. Okay, first of all, the king, you know who we're referring to, wants to have X amount of EVs by 2030, 2035, or something like that. So good old Xcel, being the opportunistic people they are, say, wait a minute, let's, we've got a vested interest in here, because where does the energy come from those EVs, but from us? So it just baffles me, and now we're talking about an incentive program to encourage more people to buy EVs. Well, find your incentive somewhere else. Don't be coming to the rate.
How about
payers
in the free market?
Yeah. Okay, and find your incentives somewhere else, you know, from the production side, I guess, but not from the people who are already paying high rates. John Caldera recently did an article in Complete Colorado talking about those coal plants that you just referred to and the shenanigans that are going on behind closed doors there. So every way you look at this, it smells to high heaven. And lastly, what do we say the results of this election, assuming that they're legitimate, people unaware. And so if you want to be aware in politics, okay, you know, that's your thing. But this directly affects your pocketbook. And if you're still unaware of what's happening and how Excel is getting ready to pick your pocket, there's something wrong.
Well, and as Christy Whaley had said, we quoted her yesterday, ignorance is bliss until it isn't. Rick, what's your thoughts about this?
Well, it's just part of the ploy to restructure our energy economy away from fossil fuel-based fuel sources to other so-called renewable fuel sources. And they've hated coal for a long time. When I was working downtown, I saw, you know, these train cars filled with coal when I was riding the light rail. And, you know, I always thought to myself, that's future electricity. I mean, I think a lot of these progressives think that electricity just comes out of the plate in the wall. And no, actually, it has to be generated somehow. Mm-hmm. And coal is, you know, I researched this several years ago. Coal is a cheaper source for creating electricity. And when you do away with coal, your electricity rates go up. Natural gas is also a good, cheap, reliable source for generating
and
electricity.
And in Colorado, they're trying to close
that
down.
And they're trying to do it with natural gas, too, and have us rely on wind and solar. And we have real-life example of these kind of policies in the state of California. We have real-life results we can look to. And last summer, they had to have rolling blackouts. You didn't know if your power was going to be out for when and for how long, and yet they want us to rely more on electricity to provide for our transportation needs. It just doesn't follow the laws of logic and common sense, and it's all part of their overall progressive dystopia, is what I call it, their dream world of I don't know what, but it just doesn't make any sense. And it is going to make the cost of electricity go up for everybody, including poor people whom they claim to care about.
Well, and then they want to come in with energy assistance programs.
Right, right. Of course.
And so they raise the price, and then they put in a government program to come in and assist people because we're hurting you. I mean, you see it there. You see it with the restaurants and the bars. And it just seems to me like a real assault on the middle class. And again, that hardworking person that is trying to become upwardly mobile and continue to have their just the basic things in life become more expensive because of government policy.
That's exactly right. And it's going to just get worse here in Colorado when the new paid family and medical leave payroll tax kicks in and small businesses are required to collect that tax from their employees. And then all of a sudden, your take-home pay is going to go down. But yeah, you're going to get paid family and medical leave if you ever need it.
But your energy costs are going up. And
right,
there's all kinds of other things coming down the pike. Let's jump over here to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, I cannot believe that tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Have you thought about any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I think about them all the time. I think one this year, especially with COVID and spending more time at home, you know, there's a lot of good things about that, but there's things that aren't so good, too. And as you know, Kim, I have two teenagers here at home, and, you know, I think my resolution is as a dad that I need to try to have a little bit more patience with my teenagers, because I'm real lucky and I have a couple of real good kids, and I need to remember that at some times when I do forget it at some times.
You know, I think patience, that's probably on my New Year's resolution every year, so I get it. Now, we've talked a lot about things that people can do between now and the end of the year. We are at the end of the year. What is your thoughts about that, Jason McBride?
Well, it's been quite an interesting year, and it looks like the future is still a bit uncertain, but one thing that is certain, again, if the Harris-Biden administration get in, they are going to do everything they can, as you've pointed out, Kim, to raise taxes. If we're able to hold the Senate, they may not be able to do that for at least a couple of years, but yeah, they could still do a lot with regulations.
Yes.
And executive orders and that type of thing that may not be, you know, really very business friendly. I mean, nothing they're talking about that I hear sounds very friendly to our markets. So again, you know, I look at these markets are pretty high right now. Capital gains rates are fairly reasonable at this point, and I would be considering, again, at least partially, taking some gains and considering maybe what you could do with that money that's a little bit safer to protect it. If nothing else, there's nothing wrong with keeping some cash for a while and seeing if, you know, the markets get cheaper again and provide opportunities.
Well, absolutely. And so people have until basically the markets close tomorrow at 2, or is it an early close tomorrow because of New Year's Eve?
You know what? That's a good question, Kim. I don't know if we close early tomorrow or not.
So today would be a great day to give you a call. And I know just take a look at these where you have some real profits. Should you go ahead and take some capital gains? There's a lot of good questions out there. I'd recommend give Jason a call today, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, you and Presidential Wealth Management, you're a valued partner of the show. Greatly appreciate you. And again, your phone number is 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You have a great show, Kim. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we want to talk about Rick Turnquist. Excellent op-ed. You can find it on the website, Tyranny and Bankruptcy. There's a couple of other things. I just wanted to talk about COVID. I want to get your read on that as well, Rick Turnquist. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I love hearing from you. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. Before we get to your op-ed, Tyranny and Bankruptcy, couple of things. Rick, yesterday it was reported, not only here in Colorado, but on national news, that there's this new strain of COVID-19, the coronavirus, one coming in from UK. Now, within the last week, they've said, oh, this new UK coronavirus strain is more deadly. And guess what? The first case supposedly is here in Colorado with a 20-year-old in Elbert County. And I've got some questions about it.
Well, it's all so fishy, and it just makes me laugh, really. And a 20-year-old, I mean, people of that age are remarkably resilient and are not, you know, in the high-risk group for the COVID-19. So it's just part of perpetuating this cycle of fear and misinformation about this virus.
Well, and we may have a 20-year-old that has COVID, and we have to ask questions. We know that COVID is a thing. We know people that have it, have lived through it. The recovery rate is like 99.9%. It's about 99, Patty has it in here, it's 99.9 something if you're over the age of 70. But it's, for younger people, it's much higher. But how? And Steve, we talk about this. We have these questions from Rudyard Kipling, and it's who, what, when, where, why, and how. And people don't ask those questions. So how is it that this strain jumped from the United Kingdom to Elbert County to a 20-year-old? I'd like more information about that. Was this person traveling? what's the, I mean, they're contact tracing everybody. We'd like that information, right, Steve?
Well, like we said in our 5:30 briefing call, it jumped from the UK to Elbert County, did
yes.
you say? Colorado, and nothing in between. You got the Rudyard Kipling thing down and asking all the who, what, when, where. I mean, there's a multitude of questions that need to arise out of that, but that's not what the major media is giving you. They're giving you the scare pill for the day.
The scare pill, that's a nugget. There you go. The other thing is why did they test this 20-year-old for this strain? Right?
Nobody knows.
And how was it that it took so long to get a COVID test for the coronavirus, but we have a test right here in Colorado for that strain? Come on. I don't know. Let's just keep asking questions.
Let's keep asking questions, absolutely. And as Ben Shapiro pointed out in a recent podcast, if we've learned one thing from 2020, it's that Americans' trust in our institutions has severely eroded, and it's because of things like this. And, this other thing about the WHO deleting naturally acquired immunity from its website.
And this is Jeffrey Tucker from the AIER, the World Health Organization, just did this recently. And that's a really important piece. Steve, you and I have talked about that as well, is that naturally acquired immunity has been something for humankind regarding all these different viruses. And suddenly, the World Health Organization is deleting that from their website, taking away that information, censoring. Again, why? And what'd you call that, a scare pill? I like that one.
Well, Rick and I were talking too, waiting for you to arrive. sorry.
Zing.
the vaccine is here. And you can see culture just across the board starting to relax and say, okay, the vaccine is here. And, okay, whammo, we got to do something to keep people stirred up.
And then,
WHO, World Health Organization, backs out something that, has been known for decades, and they take it off their website. They don't want people relying on that.
And so, as you say, our trust in these institutions, is we really need to question that.
Exactly. And they've perverted science. Science is supposed to be objective and based on reason and, hypothesis and rebuttal and experimentation and refining your refining the theory based on experiential results and experimental results, and the left has kind of transformed science into another kind of a religion where you're not allowed to question anything when they say that's the accepted dogma. Mm-hmm. For example,
science is science.
For example, the Earth is warming. You're not allowed to question that premise. You're not allowed to point out contrary data. You're not allowed to point out that, the Earth has warmed and cooled several times over the billion years that it's been here, mm-hmm. and we've only been measuring weather for the last 100 years or so. So it's really sad. And then they say, well, I believe in science. Well, it's like saying I believe in Jesus. There's no difference between those two statements.
Well, I think there is. Being a Christian, I think there is.
Well, of course. Yeah. I'm just pointing out that to them, it's become a form of religion.
Got it. And to your point, Colorado was a tropical forest at one time,
mm-hmm.
and it went through the ice age. So what is that temperature, that perfect temperature that we want our climate to be? How do they know what that is? They can't tell us what the weather's going to be tomorrow. How can they tell me what the temperature's going to be in 100 years?
And there's a lot of drivers behind what our temperature is globally besides what humans do. There's the sun. There's all kinds of things. I'm not a climate scientist, but I know enough to know that there's a lot of dogma and forced information relating to all that's out there. And I've written about that on my blog to Advance Freedom several years ago, but it's still relevant and I think true.
Well, and that's a great segue into your op-ed, Tyranny and Bankruptcy. And when you sent this over, you said you were inspired.
Yeah, well, it was one of those nights where you wake up at 4 in the morning and can't get back to sleep. And I was thinking about the fact that Colorado is now under one-party rule. And I threw out the word tyranny. I was like, well, maybe I'm going to look up this word tyranny and see if it really is what I think it is. And sure enough, it is. According to Merriam-Webster, tyranny is defined as oppressive power, especially oppressive power exerted by government. And the second definition of tyranny is a government in which absolute power is vested in a single ruler. And while our state government in Colorado does not have an absolute power vested in a single person, though it's close with Governor Polis ruling by executive order and making things up as he goes, our state is governed by a single political party, the Democrats. And I'm going to say, Kim, due to demographic changes, the progressive infrastructure, which I've talked about several times, and I really wish everybody would go to my blog, To Advance Freedom, and read about that. We Republicans can lament the fact that and come up with all kinds of theories about why we keep losing elections. But I really believe that it's this progressive infrastructure, all these nonprofit groups that are out there that exist in the progressive universe, and they all are out there to accomplish certain different things as far as winning elections are concerned. And we talked about Emerge before the election and how they train progressive women to run for office. That's just part of it. They have another thing called New Era Colorado, which is their mission is to go out and register young people to vote. And overwhelmingly, I'm sure they register them to vote Democrat. And most people, young people, lean Democrat anyway. I mean, it's all a part of a machine that exists solely to win elections. And they never stop. They never sleep. They may take a week off after an election, but I guarantee you they are working right now on the 2022 election and which seats they want to flip in Douglas County and wherever else. They are relentless, and they're out there. I really wish more people would study this and learn about it. But they've succeeded in flipping Colorado to blue, and we get bluer every 2 years. And after this last election, the Democrats have solid control, maybe even a veto-proof majority in the state House of 41-24 and a comfortable 20-15 majority in the state Senate. And just a few years ago, the Republicans controlled the state Senate, and now the Democrats do. The governor is a Democrat, and every single justice on the state Supreme Court has been appointed by a Democratic governor. The Democrats control the statewide offices of Secretary of State, Treasurer, Attorney General, and 4 of the 7 U.S. representative seats. And after Cory Gardner, who served us very well and with honor and integrity, lost his election, the Democrats now control both U.S. Senate seats as well. They flipped the University of Colorado Board of Regents, which will now be Democrat-controlled for the first time in 41 years. And the only bright spot was that all of the Emerge candidates in Douglas County lost their elections, though one was very close. So that should be a wake-up call to us. Numerically, Republicans may control more counties, but the Democrats are fully in control of most of the big populous counties in Colorado, where most of the population lives, meaning that they have near total control of state and local governments.
I'm just thinking maybe we should have the Electoral College in Colorado as well, so that we could give a voice to our rural neighbors, because they are just getting stomped all over. You saw this with the ballot initiative regarding the gray wolves. I was astounded when you and I did the voter's guide together.
Yeah.
And I was astounded when I read that they would introduce them west of the Continental Divide. So here we are making decisions for people that are making their living on the western slope. That seems immoral to me.
It's immoral, and it's a result of the tyranny of the majority, because this was a statewide ballot question, and a majority of the people of the state voted for that, and it's a classic example of the tyranny of the majority, which our founders designed our country to not be. That's why we're not a pure democracy in America, because the vote of the majority can be a tyranny as well. And it's something to think about. You know, the voters did place some limits on government in the Taxpayer Bill of Rights in 1992. See, I said it, Kim. Mm-hmm. and more recently with the passage of 116 lowering the income tax rate and 117 requiring statewide voter approval of new state enterprises. But those guardrails aren't enough. The ultimate guardrail is, of course, the United States Constitution, which every elected official pledges a sacred oath to uphold. However, it seems to me most can't wait to violate that oath, and they do it routinely. And members of both parties are equally guilty of this.
They are. And I think that's one of the things that's been a real eye-opener for me as I've gotten more and more involved. Is initially, when I got onto city council, if somebody had an R behind their name, Republican, I just assumed that that meant that they were interested in limited government and standing up for individual rights and property rights and trying to keep government in its proper role. Not so much. There are Republicans that like big government, and we found that big business and big government like each other because they can use that to squash the little guy. Just take a look at this. Costco, Walmart, Target, all of these big businesses are Amazon, they're all thriving right now through this COVID-19 thing. And I'm grateful to be able to go to the market and get products. However, you're seeing policies that they get to play by different rules than what we have for our restaurants and our bars and our taverns under this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. And these little guys are desperate to get open, and government knows that. But yet big government and big business, there's variances over here. There should be variances. Everybody has to play by the same rules.
You would think, but that's not how it works. And it's just going to get worse in Colorado because we don't have people in office largely, mostly. There are some who do, who respect the concept of limited government and what's defined as the separation of powers in the Constitution. So, yeah, an electoral college in Colorado would be great. What also would be great is if it was much more difficult to amend our state constitution. It's so easy to amend the state constitution and force something on everybody through a simple majority vote. And while I really like Tabor and I am glad it's there, it also, you know, kind of undermines the concept of representative government. We elect representatives to make policy based on our values. And
based on the Constitution.
Right.
And Rick, just a quick question before we go to break. Is under federalism, states have rights and it can run their state, supposed to be able to run their state the way they want. So you have 50 different states, 50 different experiments. And if people don't like what's going on in Colorado or California or New York or Illinois, they could move to another state. Now, hopefully, if they didn't like the policies in that state that caused that, they're not going to vote for those policies in the new state.
Well, that's true, Kim, and it's a great thing. It's a great thing because we have real world results of governance. And I wrote this in another piece recently about unfit to govern it was, mm-hmm. where I looked at the top 10 states, top 10 economically performing states in America. Nine of them are run by Republicans and completely by Republicans, and with one of them kind of a mix, I think. But the bottom 10 states economically are all run by Democrats without exception. And people are leaving those states, moving to the red. People are leaving blue states, moving to red states. And sadly, when they move, they take their values that they cause their state to be blue with them. So it's a real problem. And people want to be prosperous. They want for themselves to do well and to prosper. But they don't seem to mind voting for policies that hurt other people. And ultimately hurt themselves because, you know, government treats everybody the same when it comes to taxation. If you owe the money to government, you got to have to pay it.
Okay. Well, let's go to break, and let's go then to the second part of your op-ed, and that is bankruptcy. I think we're all very concerned about the stimulus legislation that's being passed. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Rick Turnquist. His piece is Tyranny and Bankruptcy. You can see that at my website. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Before we get back to Rick Turnquist, he's in studio. I want to give a shout out to another great partner of mine, and that is Hooters Restaurants here in the metro area. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. I was by the Lone Tree restaurant last week, and they have now a great outdoor area where you can get together with friends. It was nice and warm there, and they are trying to figure out all these different rules and regulations and to stay up to speed on what's happening there. Go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com as we're coming into this New Year's weekend. Actually, it would be a treat to not cook, and you can try some of their to-go specials. So go to HootersColorado.com for more information. Rick Turnquest, it goes way too fast when you're in studio. Let's jump over here to the second component of this op-ed, bankruptcy. We're concerned about all the spending that's occurring out there.
Right. So recently, the United States Congress passed the $900 billion coronavirus relief bill, and that's on top of the several billion they passed earlier in the year. And I'd like just to note that this bill wouldn't be necessary if the government hadn't shut down the economy in the first place. But let's leave that aside. This bill includes direct checks to some people, which is generally under, you know, $75,000 in income for single or $150,000 for married or head of household, of $600 or $2,000, which is unequal treatment based on income, depending on how President Trump's last minute demands play out. And also leaving aside the question of whether or not this is a proper function of government, which it's not, the other question is, how is the federal government going to pay for this? And let's be clear, the federal government creates no wealth. It is individual productive people all throughout the United States who create wealth, throughout the world who create wealth. The government takes this wealth through force to fund its programs. And government only has two ways of raising money, which is taxation, which is I just talked about, and by borrowing money. The most recent 900, and I put all the zeros in here just to...
That's good.
You can throw words like million, billion, trillion around, but when you put all the zeros in there, you see that's a lot of money.
It is.
$900 billion, which includes a lot of wasteful spending unrelated to COVID. We could do a whole show just about that.
Okay. We just talked about the Littleton.
Right.
They've got the new digs now for the city council.
And the Kennedy Center and foreign aid to Pakistan. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous the amount of stupid, wasteful pork spending that's in that bill.
I bet a lot of that money will come back to some of these politicians.
Oh, why are the counties around Washington, D.C. the wealthiest in America?
Go figure.
Yeah,
great
right.
Question.
So it's very swampy. So as of this writing, the most recent bill, you know, is going to be funded partially maybe through taxation, but mostly through borrowing, I'm sure. And it's going to add to the current deficit, which ultimately goes to increase the national debt. And there's a website, I've linked it in the piece here for under the words national debt. The national debt is $27,526,157,000,000, and it literally grows by the second. If you go to that link and look at that website, you see that the number just keeps incrementing by several thousand dollars every second. It's just
It's unconscionable.
Out of control. And that's more than the value of the entire U.S. economy in 2019, which was about $21.4 trillion. And on a very simple level, that means that the United States government owes more than the value of the entire economy, which it does not own, and cannot possibly liquidate to repay these debts. This, in turn, means that the government will ultimately have to raise taxes, devalue the currency, or divest assets in order to raise the cash to pay the interest on the debt, and ultimately the debt itself.
Okay. I'm sorry to jump in here, but I went to the debt clock before you even mentioned the debt clock. And you want to talk about sobering. They break it down. There's a nice little right next to the total figure that's always incrementing. It's crazy the way it's spinning by. Debt per citizen, but then debt per taxpayer, $220,000 at the current rate. So I'm sorry to interrupt there.
No, that's great, Steve. And I encourage everybody to look at that because it's very sobering, and we are ultimately liable for that as taxpayers.
Or the next generation.
Right, or the next generation, mm-hmm. which is much more likely. So even
And that's immoral.
And everybody who's voting for all these spending things is just kicking the can down the road and putting an unconscionable burden on the next generation, and I'm glad you pointed that out.
Well, and to that point, we're rolling out our America's Veterans Stories with Kim Munson this Sunday. But we stand on the shoulders of giants, of people that passed on good things to the next generation, like at the Revolution, we passed on freedom. I mean, you just go through the American heritage. Each generation wants to pass something good to the next generation. And we are passing on a big, fat IOU. There's something immoral about
that. It's terrible. It's terrible. And, you know, we don't have a revenue problem in the United States. We have a spending problem. And so what's happening is the country is heading towards what's called a sovereign default, or in terms of ordinary people, a bankruptcy. And people may think this could never happen in the United States, but I'm going to be very clear. The United States is not exempt from the laws of economics and human nature. And if not checked, this problem will grow until it becomes unsustainable. And, you know, as you pointed out, young people and those with children and grandchildren should be very concerned. And as much as I'd like to blame the Democrats for this problem, though they bear a disproportionate share, I believe, it truly is a product of bipartisan failure. And the failure lies in understanding the proper role of government and viewing the government as the means of solving every human problem imaginable. And, you know, Colorado, thankfully, has a balanced budget requirement. We should have that at the federal level as well. And I think it's time to recognize that this fiscal disaster is real and more of a true threat to our way of life than anything else, including climate change. It's time to elect representatives who will ratchet down the spending, trim the fat, get rid of the waste, and return our governments at every level to their proper scope, function, and size.
People need to read this. That is from your op-ed. It's at my website, kimmunson.com. I'd recommend people go read it and put your comments on there. We want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I love reading comments and responding when appropriate. So,
Rick Turnquist, thanks for being in studio.
Thanks, Kim.
It's always fun. And our quote for today is Thomas Paine. He said, "It is the duty of every man, as far as his ability extends, to detect and expose delusion and error." Ha ha. Okay, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. Thank you to Rick Turnquist. God bless you, and God bless America.